I've got 9:01 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, we're so thankful for the blessings of the rains that you delivered to us in the last 24 and 48 hours. And Lord, we always come before you humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we continue to ask that you watch over us, guide us, protect us. And we ask that you place your hand of wisdom on this court as we do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 3 items there. The court can consider to approve the consent agenda as a whole, or you may choose to select any of those to discuss and deliberate individually.
Make a motion to approve A, B, and C.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham, welcome back.
Appreciate it. This is for the July or the June. Oh, I got that wrong there. On the report, you can scratch it out. June report. Just how it's for the month of June, didn't present it in the first court meeting. I was waiting for some information to put into it for the kind of catching up on that industry. But we have currently 81 open service requests, and we closed 105 in the month of June, related to 33 roads. Attached in this report is a FEMA cost by location to date. That's emergency cost is what that is. It's in there. It's $1,083,157.53. Now that changes daily. It's growing every day. That is just the work to get them back, not what they were, but just temporary emergency. Yeah, that's wrong with the report too. County Road 374 Lowell Cross, we did open it. It's temporarily open. We just put back the shell like we talked about. Put some columns up on it. Make sure you can get across it. It still has damage, but it's not significant enough by doing what we've done to it to shut it down. We replaced one cattle guard, cleaned out one. We've got some temporary staff still helping us. Put a couple contractors helping us in that during that time frame, but they are no longer helping us. Started back producing rock at the Cummins pit. We rented a machine to make riprap to fix some of these washouts along the edge of the road, some 8-inch size rock. A little 3-5-inch rock we've been putting in there, just moving too easy, so we're making some bigger material. We've reshaped 12 road ditches. Clean ditches on 17 locations, worked on 5 low water crossings and cleaned off 4. We started mowing grass, we mowed 35 roads, we patched 35 roads, we put up 3 stop signs, 1 deaf child sign, reflectors on 1 low water crossing, and 3 county road name signs. Repaired 10 Metal pipes, corrugated metal pipes, cleaned out five and replaced three. Repaired 42 washouts. Repaired three road edge washouts. The difference in that is 42 is mainly going to be your dirt roads. The road edges will be the edge of the pavement wash. We milled up County Road 128, 137, and 225. And we hauled off brush from 46 roads. A lot of numbers. But we have pretty much completed hauling off all the trees we shoved in the ditch. That crews went back to brush cutting the roads. Time to catch up. Trees are growing pretty quick. So. Good. So that attached sheet, if you look at it there, the FEMA stuff, it's got it by location. And what we did is we tagged all that with the FEMA project so we can pull it out of our database by road. Each one of them roads might have one location or it might have 16, whatever, in there, but we're just tracking it by the asset. And if we have to break it out by location, we'll have that conversation with FEMA. That number right now, in my opinion, should be one that we've got enough documentation. When they show up, we'll probably audit some of them, look at it, but they should be a reimbursable dollar amount. The only thing to kind of consider is their minimum threshold is $3,900, and I need to get clarity on that if that's per asset, location, or if emergency work. Doesn't matter, because if you look down through there, some of the roads are, you know, $2,000, $600 to do the repair to it. And some of them won't grow. A good bit of them will. We're going back and fixing them a little better now. So that would be the only thing we need to talk with FEMA about is how they look at that emergency work. If they're going to back out them under $3,100 or let them stay in there. So. What we have started doing is packaging them together in fund groups is kind of what we're calling them. You know, like in a general location, like off 116 out here, I think we got 9 roads in fund group. We went back, temporary work, got them close to permanent. That one, the roads have got the dollar amounts up all above $3,900 with the damage that was coming. And if they didn't, we just took them off the fund group. But I want to say fund group one right now selling $220,000. Fund group two is around $200,000, and we just started filling my third one. Did not put them in there because they change every day. So that's all I have.
Not much to accept the road bridge report with the correction in June. First through the 31st, and then that number 3, that temporary open correction.
We have a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion or comments, concerns for Mr. Latham on the road and bridge report? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 7 is consider actions concerning the responsibility or ownership of Summers Road and Grimes Crossing. Mr. Mannix had reached out requesting, I guess, some guidance on what is the status of that particular road or road section and intersection. Is that correct?
Mr. Blake asked me to put this on there too. The way the law states is that city owns property on one or more sides of the road that they are to take in the road for maintenance. And I think Mr. Bell needs the board's authorization to send them a letter to get this officially transferred over to them. Summers Road and Grimes Crossing transferred over to them.
Mr. Bell, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's a statutory issue that says shall in there. Is that not correct?
Very.
Then I believe the court's action would be to authorize Mr. Belt to issue a letter to the City of Coppers Cove indicating that Coryell County is abandoning the maintenance and upkeep of that particular road section, and that they shall adopt that in accordance with the appropriate statute.
So moved.
Second. Motion from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Matthews. Mr. Belt, does that give you enough guidance and clarity to be able to execute that task?
Sure.
Very good. Thank you. Any further conversation on item number seven discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number eight is to consider the interlocal government agreement with the City of Coppers Cove regarding the regulation of subdivisions within the extraterritorial jurisdiction. What I provided to you was the draft that Mr. Belt had created some, 2 years ago?
That's the 825.21 version?
That is the 825.21 version, other than I put 2024 in the year date of what I sent out. But that was the original draft. And if the court so wishes to approve that, I will forward that to the City of Coppers Cove. See if there's any thing that they would want to amend to that. But that is the original draft Mr. Belt had generated. Some 2.5 years ago.
Make the motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve the ETJ agreement from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number eight? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number nine is update and actions on grants to include, but not limited to. We'll start out with SS4A. I believe Mr. Belt has submitted some closeout documents as well as some reimbursement funding documents through the COG.
Yes, and Wolf Nelson has submitted all of that up the chain to the government, whichever branch of the government I'm assuming is DOT. Yes, ma'am. I saw the other day that he had submitted that. They confirmed receipt of it.
Okay. Comments, questions, or concerns over the SS4A? Hearing none. Okay, we'll move on to the hazard mitigation plan. Ms. Jordan, any updates on hazard mitigation plan?
Nope, no updates.
Okay, very good. Moving on to, or any questions, comments from the court?
Did I need to submit that for reimbursement as well? I need to finish up that in kind sheet. I think I'll just use the rates that Mr. Nelson used in our SS4A sheet. We updated our rates in that. I don't know if you noticed that from his, I don't know if you were copied on what he sent back, but he updated our rates in that to conform to that. Rate table that the government uses, and so I'm going to update our rates in that LHMP reimbursement packet to match those rates, and still probably need to circle up with everybody and get a little time that they spent working on that project to make sure I've got it all in there. I know I don't have it all in there, but I don't. Have a good way to get it. I don't know. I put everything I know in there.
Okay.
Everything that I can find, emails or meeting notes or anything, put in there. If there's anything anybody else has, I need to get it in there.
Okay.
Because I'm ready to pull the trigger on that and get that filling with some money back.
No. I agree. I'll look at my email to see if I've received that, and I'll try to take that same shell, distribute that out to key players and see if we can't try to capture a little bit more data for you. Okay. Moving on to the RCP, I believe we had, do we have a meeting last night? I think we had a meeting last night. We've got one scheduled for tonight, one Thursday, and then one next Tuesday, the 31st, in Copper's Cove. Any other updates that the court has for the RCP? Okay. Next item is CDBG MIT, the ever-continuing saga. That Mr. Belt, had we had that last phone call before our last meeting? I don't remember the date on it.
No, we talked about it some the other day when we had our call about it earlier.
Yeah.
That's what this is more about. It, all the requests for information from the second on the reapplication, same RFIs that came out on the first application, pushing them again to the reapplication. All of those responses have been submitted by Langford, our engineer, to all of those questions and some extras. So, 71 or something. So, like, there was 67 the first time, there's 71 this time. 67 was the same 67 last time. Something like that. Anyhow, they've all been answered. They've not responded back yet, even though they did promise that they were going to put on fast track. They're fast track on the same about fast track. So, that's been probably. Actually, it's been closer to 3 weeks ago.
Oh, time flies.
It does. So those RFIs, the RFIs were submitted on the 2nd, and they're due within 5 business days, and so we got them responded to like on that next Tuesday, maybe the 7th, like the 9th, maybe by 9th, they got responded to. I saw the email back from the folks at the CBDG met on the GLO's end that they received it, and that they were going to. Fast track you on the meeting. So that would have been, so that's just been, it's been about 2 weeks ago.
Don't hold your breath. Okay. anything else or any questions need to be addressed under CDBG MIT? Hearing none, we'll move on to FEMA, DR 4781. We had our exploratory call with our project development grant manager, PDGM, I think that's it. And we're ironically, we're on number 3 because it was the first time we'd had a call with Mr. Bell, and he immediately informed us that they'd assigned us someone else. So we're on PDGM number 3. It was a good phone call. I think based off the information that we provided to him, they believe that we are in a very good position and probably ahead of most other counties and cities in this process. So I'm thankful for the work that our vendors have done and Road and Bridge has done in capturing data and locations and assigning initial amounts to those. On August 6th, we will have our recovery scoping meeting. That meeting will define, initially the primary sources of damage that we've had, and for the county, it's either been debris removal or roadway and bridges infrastructure. We didn't have any county buildings that I'm aware of that were significantly impacted by the weather events. If we do, please get that information to me on what may have maybe claimable. But the big significance of the RSM is that that starts a 60-day window for us to be able to get all of our damaged projects uploaded into the grant portal system. So that kind of puts us on the clock at that point. But again, I believe, other than the continuing work that they can that Road and Bridge is doing for emergency and temporary repairs, I believe we've got about 90 to 95% of all of the locations identified. And that didn't mean we've got the entire scope of work for each one of those projects, you know, written out, but the locations, I believe we're about 90 to 95% with those. I did, if you recall, we have entered into negotiations with Langford Community Management for the grant management services of that portion. They had sent us a draft contract. Mr. Belt and I had a real good conversation with them to try to clean up some of the language, get clarified a few points within that contract. However, they did not provide us the updated contract for consideration. So there will not be, I will not ask the court to take action on E1 with the agreement with Langford Community Management Services. But I do believe that we've got something that's reasonable and equitable for both Langford as well as the county. Mr. Belt, anything that you'd have to add under the R4781?
So you received an email this morning at 8:45 to come on.
Is that a trick question, Mr. Belt?
No, it's about the recovery scoping meeting.
Yeah.
So it is August 6th at 10 a.m., but it says PDMG Michael Bell is still our guy, according to this email. But I did hear what he said Friday that he was not going to be yet, so I predict the other. Will be actually the one there, but who knows? It may be Michael Bell.
Yeah.
But it does state the objectives of the recovery scoping meeting: discuss the damage inventory, identify the relevant documentation needed to support the damage claims, to schedule site inspections, and to develop a program delivery plan. And
is that one going to be a Zoom or?
No, it's going to be in person. We're going to do it out at Road and Bridge, so the Road and Bridge can obviously be there for, they're going to be scheduling those site inspections and that stuff. So we decided we'd do it out there so that they'd be, have all their stuff.
Is it 9 a.m.?
It's 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
There is a call in for there is a conference phone number, PIN number associated with it for those, because there will be some people that won't be able to be there. Anyone's got on the call. So it was Friday morning, I guess we had our call going for first like Friday morning, and then we got a call with they just introductory call with Mr. Bell on Friday morning, 10, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were probably a half a dozen FEMA reps on there. I mean, one of them was all the way. She was the specialist for ADA accessibility.
Yes.
That was the only thing she's concerned about. And she asked towards the end of the meeting, because they asked me, she specifically asked, are any projects that are related to ADA accessibility? Right. So, So there were probably a half dozen people on there that were only focused on one single thing. And I don't expect she'll be at the meeting. I expect she'll be calling in, just be there.
There was an environmental person. There was a historical significance person. And then, of course, you had some complimentary from Tatum on there. So, you know, you get to double dip.
Do we have a better headcount of who will be in our conference?
12 to 15 that we're talking about, I think. So, real quick, what, so y'all got a vendor that you're trying to get lined up, but you need, y'all got a proof of contract one. Is that going to be at the next commissioner's meeting? I'm just looking at workloads and timelines here.
Yes, I mean, I think that they will be able to start some work, and there's some things that I can provide to them before the next commissioner's court meeting. I believe it is
second, fourth Tuesday of every month.
August 13th.
So point, it's going to be after, it's not until after this August 6th thing. I'm trying to.
Yeah, but as soon as we get the contract back from Langford, we're going to, my opinion is, and this was judged by Chet, but is to get it on one of these, with it on one of our agendas. We're going to be having some workshops talking about that stuff. And I mean, there's just one paragraph they got to change. Right, it's fine.
So, yep.
And we got that question worked out on from that issue, and she was going, Ms. Langford was willing to change the language in that paragraph and get it back to us, and that was, that was just Friday morning. So,
so y'all don't have to wait till the 6th or to the 13th to get them.
Well, I would be very hopeful that they would be here on the 6th.
I think they have the intent to be here on the 6th.
Yes, well, we talked about it the other day. We had that call before. We had the call with Mr. Bell, so we didn't know the date of the coverage company meeting, but we discussed that with Ms. Langford, that that was coming up. And
I think they
familiar with that process.
I think they even expressed the interest of being here during the site visit times, so that they can address some issues, questions, or concerns that the FEMA inspectors may have at some of these locations.
So let's get off. Trying to coordinate with them again. Some of the, I mean, Basie's doing a lot of stuff right now, but as soon as they're picked up, they can pick up some of that, I think.
Yes. I think we'll be able to pass it off sooner rather than later.
Okay.
I would say within the next 10 to 14 days at the most, we'll be able to pass that off.
The way Mr. Bell talked, a lot of the Ms. Langford, when she talked, a lot of the process from here on out will be driven by the person that they assigned, that FEMA assigned right here to do the site visits and do that stuff, because she said they all have a problem. Way of doing things, basically, whether they want to see every single spot, every single culvert, every single dish is washed out, or whether they're going to look at 10 of them and say, okay, I don't need to look at the other 72 of them. I see what you're talking about. Let's run. Or, you know, and she said, some of them will see all 72 of them. I mean, there is, they will see every one. So she said a lot of the process from here on out will be driven by who is assigned on the ground work.
And I don't know. I didn't ask the question specifically, but like, we've got pictures of a lot of the locations already. If they go to a site or two, and then we show them equivalent pictures of other sites, I think they may not require that they're going to have to see every site out there. But I do think I got the impression that they do want to validate, you know, what the damages are overall.
So the last time we've done that, we looked there.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to have to figure out whenever we meet with that person after a couple of projects is we visited with Ms. Langford about it. The difference between the recovery projects and the mitigation projects. It sounded to me like the person that's assigned to us will have a preference about how projects get identified as recovery or mitigation, and some projects will be combinations recovery and mitigation. Some projects, she said that they'll recommend, you know, that the FEMA people will actually say, you know, we'll present them with this recovery, and they'll be like, no, you need to do mitigation on this, you need to go ahead and do this. And she said, depending on who gets assigned, will depend on how we want to approach them regarding applications for mitigation, for the 406 mitigation. And so I don't know how the best way is going to be to deal with that yet, because once you talk, we just need to kind of wait and see how who gets in and how they feel about that, how they want to see that done, and you know, processing it the way they want to process is obviously going to make the process a lot smoother. And so I'll need to just in this meeting on the 6th, we'll get them in the weeds a little bit more on that, but even moving forward from there, get out on the ground looking at the projects. We'll need to formulate a plan at some point about which way we want to nudge them on some of these projects, cover your mitigation. And I just kind of play that by ear, see how that process
works. We've been bringing my asset, I guess, probably by asset. Used to, we just track everything by the road, and now we track about the road. The water crossing is an asset, a road is an asset, a bridge is an asset. So if you come to a road that had road damage and say, well, water crossing failure that we might want to mitigate, we did that intentionally to where, okay, we can just mitigate low water crossing, go ahead and fix the road and put those in separate feet up. It's kind of how we're structuring things right now. We're also going back through, which I still have all of my FEMA records because we were anticipating being audited, some dusty boxes and rubber tubs, and we went back through and been digging all those VWs out. And we're tracking them out with that's not a spreadsheet yet, but it's in the folder. So if you like say go to County Road 145, it'll show the previous FEMA work done to it. And I've intentionally done that because I think that will be a good way to mitigate.
Right.
You know, we can prove that 4269 declaration and 4223 declaration, and I think we're even pulling back what Larry Roberts did and Darren Poe did through those kind of disasters. And you look up and you got one asset there that's got four different declarations and
maybe time to do something different. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you take
we asked out. Then 15 they didn't. Yeah.
I think their mitigation rules are a little bit easier now than they used to be. Well, and then we have help now to, you know, to do the cost analysis on it. Green sheets and all the things in the past that were kind of like, well, I don't want to do these, you know, so we can do this.
Okay. Anything else we need to cover or any other questions under 4781. I do think we are ahead of the game, and we're sitting in a good situation. Any other grants or any actions that the court wishes to take under item number 9? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, update on construction projects. We'll start with Mr. Taylor.
We're all done, waiting on the state to set the little switch. The non-essential stuff over here. Dr. Justin informed me that that's all they're waiting on is the state to flip their switch. And then if they do it before Friday, they plan on making the move for this Friday.
I'm guys up front while I go looking for him. He has new signs, which we're going to solve over the drive, please.
Goodness. Okay, good. Thank you for that update, Commissioner Whittle and Commissioner Basham.
We only had one owner's meeting between our last one, Commissioner Court and this. I mean, gosh, you guys probably, if you've driven by there, you've seen. They've poured the west parking lot, the stairs and the ramps. They finished the sheathing and waterproofing, started the metal roof. Actually, I think they're, gosh, almost three-fourths of the way done on that. Pretty much interior framing is done. Plumbing should have been pressure tested. The electrical about, this was on 7-Eleven, by the way, so I'm sure there's quite a bit that's been done since then. We have an owner's meeting Thursday. 50% of the interior electrical is done and windows next month. So in August, that's when we should be that momentous moment where we're dried in. At the last, I believe it was the last meeting, when the Sheriff's Department did a presentation to us, there was some talk about the water intrusion on the impound. And so I reached out to Mr. Huffinger, and he referenced back to our civil engineer that did all of the water calculations and everything. So if there's anybody that you want to look at, I mean, we've got to look at the civil engineer, but when the calculations came back that there was no more additional water being put on that impound lot. Now, maybe how it's being put on or that, but there was no more. Now, Mr. Huffinger said that, off the back of the old jail, there was a water spout. They had a gutter system and it was, kind of doing the same thing. Of course, we're coming off, as the judge has said multiple times, a historic rain event. And so there was more water put on that impound lot than there had probably been put on in 5 years. So, ACE is our civil engineer. And if anybody wants, we can pull up those water calculations and go through those. But that's kind of where we are. I think it's a fixable problem. It'd be just a Prince drain system, but it all depends on what we're going to do with it. There will be one, I just want to kind of give a heads up out there. There will be one consideration for this court. Commissioner Matthews and I are going to Glen Rose next Monday to take a look at their security scanning system, the one that is proposed. The preliminary number I have is, it's very, very precise, $44,133.17. That was not a part of the package. It's not a part of the GMP. It's, a separate security, thing that we have to address. So we're going to go look at those. I think the Ricky Helms is also invited. So we'll be bringing that information back with a packet and everybody can take a look at that system. It'll be a real upgrade. I mean, it's actually going to have, kind of like what the airports have, an x-ray and also the magnetrons or magnetron. Other than that, that's it.
Okay.
It's moving along quickly.
Yeah, it is.
Are we still projected December?
Yeah, they are ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Put it that way, despite even with that rain event and everything.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else to discuss under item number 10?
I did want on that. I want to say that Butler Cohen appears to be a very good choice because they had that hurricane in Houston. Well, of course, they're based in Houston. Our project manager had some pretty severe damage to his house, but he had to stay there for 5 or 6 days. But Butler Cohen redirected some other folks that are familiar with the project. They never missed a beat. I mean, they just kept the process moving. So it was kind of a mess down there. So I give them the kudos for not slowing down.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that. And one more time, anything else to cover under item number 10? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions that the court wishes to consider to support the construction project at this point?
Not for me.
Okay. Noting that no actions. Item number 12 would be to consider a proposal to develop a courthouse master plan from Architexes. We had a copy that went out in your packet that I believe this morning. There was another updated one that has been dispersed to you. Was that this morning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They just, so the previous one in the paragraph above the list of numbers, the we just had X's
on the reimbursables.
Took the numbers that were in the little list below and put them in those X's. Yeah. So it's claiming about $165,063 and $2,000 for reimbursables. That was in the schedule below. They just had X's on the numbers in that paragraph portion. So they just clean that up. That's the only change from the one that y'all have seen previously.
And I did talk to Mr. Lakers and I did say that that cost could be cheaper with more of the, we have pictures or people have stuff about the courthouse and that they
can. We have a digital document. Sure.
Yeah. That and that price could be cheaper as well. So I'm really excited about this. I'm ready to move forward. If they also said, you know, if we do, you know, accept this today, that they'd like to come and have a workshop and visit with us.
I make motion to approve the proposal.
Second.
To develop a courthouse master plan with Architects.
We've got a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 12?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Where are the funds coming from?
They were programmed in the budget. Now, I don't know that we have all of them available, but this project won't be completed in this fiscal year.
Yeah.
So within future fiscal years, we will ensure that all of the funds are available.
Yeah. Right now, I'm like, in that budget, there's $153,000 in that.
That was included under non-departmental professional fee.
Ah, yeah. There we go. Yeah. The old non-departmental. Gotcha. All right. Cool. Thanks.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 13, consider authorizing treasurer to pay out excess OT based on legal recommendation. I believe that came from Commissioner Matthews.
Yeah, y'all know we had an executive session about this. And I don't think it was ever instructed to the treasurer to finish the guidance that we got. So pay that overtime.
Well, there's a good catch, Commissioner. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure we can give some pretty clear guidance. So if the court, I would entertain a motion to direct the treasurer pay the overtime as previously discussed.
So move.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. And I will ensure that that guidance is delivered. And you'll all be CC'd so you see the guidance that's delivered. Item number 14 is to consider guidance to the county attorney to file a response in the Bahia Pipeline LLC versus Tenetti Family Partnership condemnation suit. The county is a defendant as part of a lawsuit that Bahia Pipeline has filed. It is from what Mr. Belt tells me, it's just kind of a standard practice that everybody that's can remotely be associated with it is grouped in there. But the names, I think about four different defendants in that lawsuit. And I believe Mr. Belt is looking for guidance to file a response, which also protects the county's rights to any compensation that we may be due in the future. Is that correct, Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir. We currently have a lien on the property because of unpaid taxes. We have one, North Trinity has one, Jonesboro ISD has one.
liens on the property for past due property taxes. So that's the main reason they included us in the lawsuit. I don't intend on filing like a agenda denial to argue with the merits of the suit. I just want to file an appearance of counsel and a reservation of rights, basically saying, you know, we're here, I represent the county. If any money comes through this suit, we want it first applied to pay the liens for taxes in accordance with the law. And that's pretty much it. It's going to be pretty short and sweet, but this is starting to get it. I thought,
I would make a motion to authorize county attorney to file that response.
I'll second.
Got a motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on the guidance to the county attorney in filing response? And Mr. Belt, that gives you enough?
That's all I need, Judge.
Okay, very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 15, discussion concerning budget expenditures for FY 2024 for the Sheriff's Office and jail. Forgot to bring my little expenditure sheet back here with me, but again, as the closeout of June, we were about 82%, I believe, in one of the departments. There obviously is some follow-on actions that we're going to ask the court to take.
Yes, the jail 82.8%. The prisoner board is at 103.7. Medical and hygiene at 80.3. And food for inmates at 92.9.
I'm not going to do that to you. One of the things I do want to go back and look at, and I will email the sheriff on, let me make myself a note. We're getting and they've been very good for the last, I think, probably year and a half, you know, about giving us jail number updates. The number I would like to see included in that is really two numbers. One is how many people are incarcerated that have been convicted. And on a side note, congratulations to the DA on a firing conviction yesterday. And then number two is how many of those that are convicted that are incarcerated have been there over 45 days. I think those two numbers are relevant to the court as we monitor these expenditures, at least, you know, for the next 60 to 90 days. So from my seat, I think those, if we could get those two numbers added to that Monday report, that would help paint a little bit clearer picture. Is there any other information that the court believes that they need? As far as the jail roster at this point. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other thoughts or concerns concerning the budget expenditures for FY 2024 for the Sheriff's Office and jail? Okay. Hearing none, well, we'll move on to item number 16, which is to consider budget amendment number 12 for FY 2024. This has been considered a couple meetings before. This involves the replacement of two automobiles for the sheriff's office. Total cost of those two would be $131,497 and the one we have budgeted for the amendment was $131,747.22. It's the recommendation of myself and auditor that even though a portion of those funds could be paid out of this fiscal year's budget. It would be prudent to go ahead and finance those two if the court wishes to move forward in purchasing those vehicles, such that that gives us cash on hand as we finish out the rest of the fiscal year. As we look into FY 2025 and future years based off of what that lease agreement. As in the past, we would anticipate that there would be no penalty to pay that lease agreement off early.
Lease or
It is a capital lease. Okay. Okay. We're purchasing the vehicles,
right.
But the mechanism to fund it is capital lease. Yeah. That is correct. If in fact the court wishes to approve the budget amendment, understand you're authorizing the Sheriff's Department to move forward with the proposed purchase of two vehicles and outfitting those as replacement vehicles.
So I did reach back out to Superior Auto Group, and the two vehicles that I was talking about before at that 130, I've actually got that changed to two different vehicles at 130.
We're gooder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've also visited with the auditor, and I don't have an issue with it.
I visited with the auditor also. He seemed pretty confident in his recommendation. I don't have.
So, amendment number 14, the prison board at 400,000, in your opinion, is that going to be enough?
No. We're not.
Okay, all
right. So, the item to consider is item number 12. Which is
number 12. I make a motion to approve budget amendment.
Have discussion though. But we need to change the numbers.
I would say that a motion has been made. I would ask the court to consider amending the motion to reflect the amount of 113,804.04. Is that good for you, Mr. Wood?
Did you put $250 in that for the bank's processing fees?
So that's going to be 114.054.04. That's what I've. Somebody please check my.
I'm doing
it. My math 114.054.04.
Yeah, 114.054.04.
So 114,000, someone would amend the motion to reflect a budget amendment number 12 and the amount of $114,054.04.
Second.
All right. Motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on amendment number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Dennis, I would appreciate your perseverance and shop. So thank you.
And thank you for the update.
Okay.
Moving on to item number 17, which is to consider budget amendment number 14 for FY 2024. This budget amendment would be to the general fund for prisoner board coming from other revenues interest earned. Again, in discussions with Mr. Wood, we believe that we have interest revenues that are unrecognized that could be expensed. And based off the current levels that we've seen over the last two or three months, we believe that this, if it does not completely cover the prisoner board for the rest of the fiscal year, it will come very, very close.
I make a motion to accept.
We got a Motion to approve budget amendment number 14 from Commissioner Basham. The second from Commissioner Matthews. I wasn't quite sure. I just heard it from this side. All right. Yes, sir.
So this amendment is really just going, it's not moving money. It's adding $400,000 to the interest earned line item of the revenues, going from $200,000 to $600,000. And it is opposite. It's going to add $400,000 to the expense line item in the jail and prison report.
Wait, did you say 600 or 400? Four. Yes.
Adding 400 there, it's adding 400 interest earned. So the.
And it will.
It will go from 200,000 to 400,000 to
600,000.
600,000,
yes.
Revenues for interest earned.
Yes.
4,000 more
prisoner. Prisoner board expense. Yes, sir. That is the budget amendment.
The two and from those went off. It's from general revenues. There's something in we're not moving 400,000 from one expense line on to another. We're increasing
a revenue line
and increasing expense.
Okay.
I think it's what we're going to do with the front though.
Sure. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion covers. Item number 18 is to consider budget amendment number 13, which is to move funds from the emergency management salary to emergency management miscellaneous. This supports some actions that I've taken to assist the road and bridge as part of DR 4187 to help our 4871. I'll keep going for it. To compile the data so that we've got a more accurate and more responsive cost analysis to the projects that we'll be submitting.
Have outstanding expenses that we can't cover under the current missile.
That is correct.
Do we know what those are?
Yes, there's one that's $5,000, which was the initial data collection, and there's one for $15,000, which is compiling the cost analysis on those projects.
Payable to?
NRS.
I don't have a major issue with this, Judge, but I would ask that, just like we would with any other, department, we probably should have had a heads up on what you were going to approve, somebody to do work on up to the tune of $20,000 prior to that. We've had multiple, court sessions and it just, could have been, hey, we're going to do this. That's my one issue with it, just like we would anybody else. If any other department came in and spent $20,000 and wanted to move from, a salary to something else, I don't think you would be happy about that.
Commissioner, I focus in on the comment when you said just like anybody else. I believe there's been expenditures from departments, maybe even more than the two amounts that I addressed there, that didn't come through this court. you know, and we learned about after the fact. Now, whether they brought budget amendments to the court or not, some I think some have and some have not. So if we want to talk about just like anybody else, then let's set the standard.
Right.
Because I don't think there is a standard right now. Okay. I looked at that item and I responded to a situation that I thought best fit the county in the best way that I thought possible. And I think it's going to pay dividends for us.
I agree. I think what he's trying to reference is just a little bit of respect, a little bit of passing information. That way you don't have to jump through hoops and try to figure it out, I think is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And it goes back to a lot of respect. And communications is a big deal. Just a smidgen. All you got to do is send that information out. It's information only. Solve the problem.
That color-coded spreadsheet that Road and Bridge has provided to the court over the last 2 or 3 weeks, that is the product we're talking about. So you have been exposed to it. I mean,
we're not talking about the product. He's talking about the billing and the agreement. I mean, transparency is a huge thing with most people. And you can say things, you can twist things, you can hide things, you can whatever you want to call it. Just share the information. If I have something comes up, I send it out. And I include it on there. Do not respond to this. This is for information only. That way it's not hid, it's not anything from anyone. Because I'm not special. I don't think anybody in this room is special. You know, it's a respect thing. I think that's what he's getting. And you're trying to pick an argument or a fight about it.
No, I'm not picking an argument or fight about anything, Commissioner. I'm saying that you know what I witnessed and you know what I've executed. I thought you were aware of the product, you know, maybe not the mechanism to create the product, but you were aware of the product and the process that we were going through, and that's the expenditure here.
How would they be aware of? How would anybody be aware of it if they were not a part of it? Other than you get a piece of paper, I know because I pay attention, but how would they know that Mr. Latham did not just produce that pretty piece of paper out of his office on his own?
Because I believe he said that, you know, he's been working with Casey.
He's been working with Casey for the last 3 years.
Yes.
Again, it's just putting the information out there, I think, is what Commissioner Weddle's trying his point.
Okay.
Anyway,
what is presented for the court is to consider budget amendment number 13, which supports those actions for DR 4781 out of the emergency management fund.
So moved.
Got a motion to approve from Commissioner Basham. Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 19 is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,628,938.61.
I would make a motion to pay
bills. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 19? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 20, reports, Commissioner Matthews. Very good. Commissioner Weddle.
Considering we are pretty much a red county, we did get a new Republican county chair last night, Bernadette Wolk. And so I'm just asking everybody, if you're supporting the Republican Party, which this county does most, you might want to reach out and just congratulate her.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Commissioner Basham?
Have nothing to do.
Commissioner Taylor?
Have nothing.
All right, very good. There has been quite a bit of activity going on political levels at the national level. I would ask that everyone keep an eye on that, and then here at the local level as well. I would ask that the court spend a little time and pray for those that are in leadership positions for our country. One of the items that you did not see on the agenda, and you won't see it, at least from my standpoint, addressing some utility issues and some other things that have come up recently. I think November is going to have or could potentially have some significance in how some of those things are going to play out before our current utility contract is up. But I'll be in close touch with Mr. Wood, and we'll bring a recommendation to the court probably after November. Other than that, that's all I've got. You can have, I will, the chair concedes 30 seconds to the county attorney.
So I've been talking to lots of folks about IT and about IT in our new building, about IT moving forward for the county, connectivity, where what is, how it's connected and all that good stuff. And it is, I don't fully understand it, so I certainly can't explain it to anybody. But at some point before the budget process is finished, I think we need to at least talk about our options. Not that we'll necessarily change anything right now, and it may be not even in the budget this coming year, but we need to formulate a plan of sorts. I have some questions I need answers to that I can't answer, hopefully don't want to. So at some point, I'd like to have a discussion about it.
I could probably facilitate that. And we'll get something scheduled for you, Mr. Bell. Okay, that concludes the business of the court today. I would ask that y'all take a moment and sign the treasurer's report. We are adjourned. Thank you all.